E2. Number 8B.
And try to find out what is here actually the Word and the Christ and Christianity and science as stated in his matrix. Because we know there are many other matrices that have the same term on the top, Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And therefore, and because they are not giving the same story as John Dory's story, therefore this must have some kind of differentiation in it, whatever that differentiation is. Did I put the proposition right? I repeat it. As we will see later on, that we will get many matrices that have as their indices Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And as each one of them gives another message, a completely different message, the differentiation of that message should be brought out. Therefore, Word, Christ, Christianity, and science are too broad of terms, a term, and they should be defined more specifically what they mean. And so let's see what we could. Everything I say now, and I want you to make that clear, that everything what I say now is only to try to lead your thought into scientific thinking without trying to give a definite answer. We leave everything open what we find now about John Dory's matrix. But we would have to find, to state what is in the vertical the Word. What kind of Word does he give there? We have seen that when we were studying those four, that we can define the Word through many, many different ideas and characteristics. We did that last week with the class. For instance, the Word is seeking. And you can see very easily that here Mr. Dory did not present the Word as seeking. Can you see that? Because he just states the Word from the point of view of the synonymous terms. Can you see that therefore here Word could not be seeking? Yes? And only by saying that I want to bring out that there may be matrices wherein the Word would have the connotation of just seeking. So it would, we could think up and say, now, what did he actually tell us? And you see, this is the interesting part, that sometimes you know the feel of it, and yet you have difficulty in giving it a name, in defining it, which means that one hasn't quite 100% understood it. If you have the feel and a certain feel, and yet you can't define it, this is always a wonderful sense that you haven't quite got it. Huh? And this is the state in which we are in. We feel somehow that here the Word doesn't mean seeking, that the Word doesn't mean creator, the creative Word, because nothing is created here. And you gain a sense that can't be that. Huh? So what could it perhaps be? And what I do now is, because it is taped and because we can't have it in a seminar likewise, where I can ask, what do you think? And it is not understood on the tape, but not everybody would like to speak up and then think that these tapes go all over the world and then they say, oh, he or she has said such a dumb thing. So what I'm going to do is, so to say, to spell out what the class has said in the previous occasion I had over on the West Coast, where the class was bringing up various concepts, and so I take those in just in order to, well, to reason out things. So I try now to think not as me, but as a class. we could see, now what did he show there? And something is very definite, because we knew he went out from the word order, that we know. And that was given. And he was thinking about the given order. And that order was the word. And stated in that way, one could think, well, isn't that the way that God somehow declares himself as what he is? So that we perhaps would find that the word here vertically is giving us the self-declaration of God. And this would be something very different than seeking or approach to God is the word, or the creative word. Through the word of God, everything is made that was made. Here nothing is made. Something is being just stated, just defined, declared. So let's tentatively put in that the word here would be in the aspect of, let's say, self-declaration. Shall we put it like this for the moment? And I guess this is quite a nice approximation, because it goes out from where John Dolittle took fundamentally his word order, namely from the question, what is God? And therefore giving a answer, which I don't like to say it's a definition of God, because it isn't quite a definition of God, but at least a declaration of his nature. Stating, so to say, God's own nature, and stating it from the point of God himself. So let's put that into that column. Let's try to find out what does the Christ vertical mean there. And we know that when we study the textbook and investigate what Mrs. Eddy says about the Christ, that she says so and so many things. That she says the Christ is the divine idea. She says that Christ is the divine manifestation that comes to the flesh. She says that the Christ is the divine message from God to man. She says that the Christ symbolizes the spiritual agreement between God and man. You have all kinds of aspects that define, that characterize, I shouldn't say define, that characterize the Christ. And again, we would see that the term Christ is such a big term that it cannot be defined by a single sentence, but that it would have to be defined, so to say, by a whole matrix, by a whole structure. And so here again we can say, well, the Christ here is not just showing any aspect of the Christ, but a very specific one, because it is stated again through the synonymous terms. Again stated through the nature of God, the seven synonymous terms. And we could say now, from where has he taken it? And we could see he has taken it really from the translation, the scientific translation of immortal mind, showing what there? See, what did he show there? What did Mrs. Eddy show there? Sorry. On that page 115, it shows that order is that which shows really the working of that order at the point of idea, because it brings it to the point of idea in the first translation. And so we could see, actually, this must be showing that the seven synonymous terms, the nature of God, is operating as the idea of those seven synonymous terms. Not as the ideas, as the idea, the Christ idea. And I would have some kind of feeling, or the class on the West Coast got some kind of feeling, that here Mrs. Eddy would show somehow the very fact that the word, which is declaring its nature, has a Christ, namely an idea, and that it is shown as idea, namely bringing it from principle to the point of idea, as manifesting the principle as principle's idea. So some after longer discussion felt this is actually showing the Christ in its office, not so much as saying that which comes to the flesh, but as the Christ idea. So again, tentatively, we still do not know, and we will not know when we leave this class this week what is right, but we are going along a scientific line of reasoning so that we feel this is showing the Christ idea. Those who have been here last week in that class, you remember that we have been speaking about 3 or 4 hours only about idea, or even more, and have been seeing the beauty of that term idea that cannot be put into the plural, showing that God has an idea, the infinite idea. And in order to bring out that idea, that word needs a Christ. And that's the Christ idea. Then, in that class, we were weighing what is the nature of Christianity. What does it bring out? We know Christianity, for instance, as demonstration. We know Christianity at the point of man. We know Christianity as reflection, as output, as outcome, as demonstration of a situation, as solving a problem, as resolving illusions, as all these things where evil disappears, the obliteration of the mortal concept. And so out of a whole list of offices of Christianity, one could easily exclude quite a number, namely all those qualities which have to do with the mortal, with destroying error, with eliminating error, with dissolving error, because this here certainly that has nothing to do with that kind of thing, because it is just stating the synonymous terms in their office of Christianity. And so they must have a much bigger sense or a much more absolute sense than that. And actually, as we have been going through the Christianity order, we would get there a key what it is all about. When we went through the Christianity order, you know that we were seeing that the Christianity order was showing how we could arrive at the pure reflection of God at the point of idea. How through principle, mind, soul, spirit, we would find the purest reflection, the blending of all the ideas, where there is no more any foreign element in it, and bringing out that each idea is reflecting the whole Godhead, life, truth, and love. And so as we were thinking about along those lines, we felt, doesn't this Christianity have a sense of pure reflection, of God's infinite reflection? Not just reflection, because it's God's reflection. You go out from the synonymous term and see from the synonymous term, therefore from the word point of view, you begin to see one's own reflection. You begin to see synonym's own reflection of itself. So we felt as a tentative answer that it would give us God's infinite self-reflection. So let's perhaps put it in here as a working hypothesis that Christianity is God's infinite self-reflection. Then we went to the next column, the last column of signs. And there again, if you have your study notes, if you have made a study on what signs means as the fourth sign of the holy city, you also have a whole list of what signs can mean, that it can mean understanding, that it can mean proof, that it can mean isness, that it can be interpretation, that it can mean all those scientific terms which we attach to any science. Now, here we would have to ask, what was our starting point for that last column, for that candlestick order? And again we would see, do you see how I reason? I always reason the same way, and what I feel simply. I always go right back to the categories. Where did it start? I don't look at those synonymous terms and think, what do they mean? I go back to their origin and say, from where did they come? How did they come into being? And therefore, from which starting point did I go out? And what was the meaning of that starting point? I always go right back to the presupposition of something like that and say, well, if we go back to the candlestick order, even that was not the beginning. The beginning of the candlestick order was the word again, namely the seven. And taking the seven, but looking at it instead of linearly, looking at the seven structurally, so it's still the word, but now looked at as a structure, as a system, and so one feels what Mrs. Eddy presents here, what John Dolly presents here, is the structural sense of the word, of the statement of God, where God states himself in its science. So that one has a feeling, here we see how not that we have to state the signs of being, but that the word states itself, or God states itself as a science. He himself interprets himself as a science. That he says, I'm not just a linear development starting and ending. I'm infinite beingness, or a circleness, a circle, but I state myself as a science. And we were thinking about along these lines, and one of the results that came out, and which most were perhaps happy about it, were that it shows God's self-interpretation as science. So we can put in here God's self-interpretation as science. It is a bit a long epitome. Actually, we should be able, say, to reduce it. So, you see, the more one can reduce things just to one or two words, it sticks more. It sticks out clearer. So actually, if we recapitulate those four, we could see, well, what is it? The word is self-declaration. The Christ is God's idea, the Christ idea. That God has an idea, that's actually the Christ idea. Then self-reflection, God's self-reflection. And lastly, God's interpretation, self-interpretation. This is actually, I think, quite a good approximation for the present time. Because it substantiates very much the starting point from which one has gone out. But then, if we had this, say, if in this way we could have defined the I there as the calculus, and not just in a general term, in an overall term, as word, Christ, Christianity, and science, which have so many, many meanings, and try to specify those terms, then naturally we would have to go and see now what is the J. And this is perhaps more difficult than to do the I, because the I index was given, so to say. That was the basis from which John Dolly went out. So it was given, and therefore much easier to feel out. Whereas now the J is much more difficult, because there one would have to feel out what is now the general tone going horizontally through it. The word here could mean many things. Can you see that? Could mean many things. Now, what aspect of the word is meant there? And as we were weighing that in the class on the West Coast, actually there were two classes on it, I was quite astonished to see how most of the answers were all about the same thing. It was quite terrific for me to see that. I really was happily surprised to feel that everybody, though they may have used shadings of meaning, they all had a sense somehow that here the word meant some kind of the creative basis, the creative origin. That it is, that the word here is showing the creative basis. So let's go out from that hypothesis. And you still know that we are just feeling our way, that the word is creative. And why?